every week. For the last 40 years, at least twice, we talk. Some of you older ones listened also to the talk of my Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Muzaffar, and also Hazrat Sefer Baba Rahmatullah Alayh. 40 years. In addition to all that talk, you also have read, I hope, the Book of Allah Ta'ala, the Hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Irshad of Muzaffar Efendi, and the writings of our actual Shaykh, and other writings. We translated at least 10 books for you, which hopefully you have read. All these words and all this reading and listening, if it would have been in a school or a university, you would have had many doctorates. But words does not do it, doesn't do it. You can memorize every word which Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, as many hafizes do. You can memorize thousands of hadiths. You can memorize all the words of Muzaffar Efendi and the words of this fakir, which are not from me. And you can memorize the whole Masnavi if you wish. It's not going to get you anywhere. All this effort of sheikhs and of dervishes in talking and listening could have one and only one effect. Is to create an excitement, a wish, an insatiable hunger to do something to come close to one's Creator. That's all. And if you have never heard of the Kaaba, and if you would really respect me as a teacher, and I would say that there is a place, Baytullah, the house of Allah Ta'ala, seek it. If I was able to excite you enough that you would die if you wouldn't find that Kaaba, but I wouldn't tell you where it is. So you'll go on the top of Empire State Building and look. Where is the Kaaba? Then you will go to Paris and look. You see the Eiffel Tower, but no Kaaba. And finally, you will end up in Mecca, in Munawwara, and you will see the Kaaba. You will look, and you will still be looking for the Kaaba. In Mecca, in front of the Kaaba, you will be still looking for the Kaaba. It wouldn't make any difference whether you're on the top of the Empire State Building looking for the Kaaba or right in front of the Kaaba looking for the Kaaba. You cannot find it as long as you are you. Because wherever you go, you will be with yourself. One day, someone was talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said that we have heard that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam told to the Jews, you don't know what Hazrat Musa alayhi salam told you. If you want to understand Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and what he brought, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, come to me, and I'll teach you. And one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Jews and the Christians, you do not understand what Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and what Hazrat Isa alayhi salam brought to you and told you. If you want it to be explained so that you can understand, come to me, said Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Christians and to the Jews. So the Ashab said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you're telling us, Ya Rasulullah, that each prophet explains what the prophet before him brought. He said, yes. But Ya Rasulullah, you are the seal of the prophet, and no other prophet is going to come after you. Who is going to explain what you brought? His answer was, من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. He who knows himself knows his Lord. As we are not going to find the Kaaba, no matter the greatest sheikh talks to us for 1,000 years. But grace to our sheikhs, hopefully that we are excited and we wish to find where the Kaaba is. But we, as we are, cannot find the Kaaba. That we have to know us and return to that essential us. Only then we will find the Kaaba, and not outside, but inside of ourselves. we don't believe in the original sin. And I am sure Hazrat Isa alayhi salam did not teach to his 13 followers that people come to this world already as sinners. When we come to this world, we are pure. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pure. And that is what is the meaning when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all who are born to this planet come with the nature of a Muslim. Then, with the influence of the world, which includes our mothers and our fathers and our home and the country where we are, our culture, the whole world, the food which we eat, the air, the climate, it's hot or cold, the people all around us, all these things very quickly, the moment when I have a toy and the kid next to me, I am, how many months did I start talking?
2 years.
2 years? And you want my toy? Another 2 years? And I say, he holds it now. I say, no, it's mine. That's it. The purity, the born Muslim, is gone. But that is nothing. All these things we identify ourselves with, our ambitions, our angers, our happinesses, our desires, our sex, our sense of beauty, you know, all these things which we identify with has nothing to do, nothing whatsoever to do with the essential us. Till we achieve that purity again, we will not be able to come close to the one who created us, who was closest to us when we were born. I don't want to discourage us. Hazrat Hasan al-Basri, Qudsa Sirrah al-Fattah, he was going to the Hajj on foot, and he noticed that little ants as he was walking. And he turned to the little ant and he said, oh, little ant, where are you going? And the little ant said, like you, Ya Hasan, I am going to the Kaaba. He said, but how can you possibly go to the Kaaba? Well, the way you are a little ant. And he said, does it matter? Does it matter if I die on the way as long as I am heading towards that direction? Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi says that if you follow this path for 1,000 years and for a spirit moment you turn your back to it, your loss will be greater than what you have gained in 1,000 years. So what I want to impress on you that the method that the way to get there is to rid of all the load which we are carrying. So if you want, the process is not additive but subtractive. That we have to shed instead of accumulating.
Ah, but what about knowledge, you say? One day, Hazrat Shamsi Tabrizi fell upon a group of people, of intellectuals, of men of knowledge. They were discussing infinity. They were discussing eternity. And he turned to them and he said, "What have you got anything to do with infinity or eternity? You are terminal. You are not eternal. You got this very, very short life of 60, 70, 80 years. What you should try to find out is what to do with those 60, 70, 80 years. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala talks about Jahannam full of men of knowledge who hasn't put their knowledge into action. And again in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala calls them that they are like donkeys carrying heavy books. Knowledge is absolutely necessary, but in itself it is nothing. Knowledge has to be used to produce. To produce so that you can give away your production. That is what I mean by subtractive. At least one of the subtractive things is to give away things. But to be able to give away things, you have to have things. To be able to have things, you have to have knowledge. But at the same time, when you are producing with your intelligence and with knowledge things with the intention of not keeping it, but giving it to the one who needs it, that you have to know that both the knowledge and what the knowledge produces is not yours at all, but it is given to you because of your intention. So, two things. To attempt to turn to the pure state of one's birth. Two, to accumulate knowledge with the purpose of making something, doing something, which will be for the good of others with the intention of giving it. But neither you have made it, nor the knowledge is yours, nor the act of giving is yours. That is a hard pill to swallow, but it is possible. No matter how little it is, read hadith over hadith, read ayat over ayat. It always talks that Allah are with those who are muhsinin, muhsin, ihsan, the one who helps, gives to other people. But if you are selfish, you cannot do that. If you are stupid and ignorant, you cannot do that. If you are especially arrogant and selfish, you cannot possibly do that. Salaam alaikum.
Size çarpacak bir yerde yazdım. Biraz dikkat edin.
When you come to my age, you will find out that you have less and less. And you have less and less interest in things. You lose your power, you lose your intelligence, you lose your body. See? And if you don't give it, eventually it will be taken away from you anyhow. At the end, you end up without anything, wrapped into 7 yards of cloth and dumped into a hole. A proof of what I'm saying. And Allah says that He will give you tenfold what you have given for His sake. But it's not really tenfold, it is thousandfold. Some here and most in the hereafter. Allah's generosity Allah's compassion, Allah's gift is divided into two. His Rahmaniyah, He has divided it into 100 portions. That only one portion of it is what you and the animals and the plants and the air and the rocks and the mountains receive is only 1% of His beneficence. The 99% of it is in the hereafter for those who believe in Him and work for Him and be His servants. But of course, that is if you believe in the hereafter.
process is deducted. What I told you tonight is like almost always certainly not from me because I do not know anything, but it's from Hazrat Mevlana, Hazrat Rahi Fatahi. To create a wish, a very strong wish. That's all. And that I must say, I have somewhat received from my sheikh. Did you understand what I was talking about?